Our Hebrew Bible lesson this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, and then verses 22 to 28. It can be found on page 660 in your pew Bible, and if you're using the large print, it starts on page 859. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking. And all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his first fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purpose. I have not relented, nor will I turn back. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our responsive psalm reading is Psalm 14. Can be found in the back of your hymn note, starting on page 746 and continuing on 747. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt and do abominable deeds. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all people to see if there are any that are wise who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is none that does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge, the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror, for the God is with the generation of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. On that deliverance from evil, from Zion, where the Lord restores their fortunes, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. It can be found on page 196 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible and on page 253 in the large print Bible. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, let us continue as we have been for weeks in the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. You can find this reading starting on page 73 of the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Or if you're reading the large print edition, you'll find it on page 95. Hear these words. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, when you think about this passage from Luke, the message that Jesus offers seems fairly straightforward. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. But as I was reflecting on this passage throughout the week, through the rainy windows, I came up with more questions to ponder than this simple statement of joy for a repentant sinner. These are thought-provoking parables that Jesus offers, and their context makes them even more intriguing. Luke 15, 1 through 3 sets the stage. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so in response, Jesus told them this parable. The religious authorities were shocked with Jesus' behavior. He hung out with sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors, and he even ate with them. Devout Jews knew that you should not fraternize with the wrong kind of people, and you would certainly never share food with them at your dinner table. This rabbi from Nazareth was certainly living out his revolutionary and heretical views and teaching the people that this was how life is faithfully lived in the kingdom of God. Jesus then tells them a series of three stories, two of which are included in today's lectionary reading. Our Bibles have headings for these stories that are probably familiar to many, if not all of us. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the final one that we did not read today, the parable of the prodigal and his brother, known more widely as the parable of the prodigal son. What is really fascinating to me and frankly disconcerting is this duality of lost and found. Think about these three stories. In the story of the lost sheep, we often think of this animal as a little lamb. Well, the artist who created the painting on this week's bulletin depicts a little lamb, in this case, a little lamb, and a black sheep at that. Now think about the meaning that's there. But Scripture simply says that a sheep was lost. It doesn't say a lamb. Now, I don't have a high estimation of the brain power of sheep. So I wonder if the sheep even knew that it was lost. Maybe it simply wandered away, munching from one tuft of grass to the next, until it wandered so far away that it was lost. Well, the shepherd certainly knew that it was lost, and the shepherd left the other 99 sheep in the wilderness to go off and to find the single wayward sheep. Well, this question of lost is much easier in the second parable because a silver coin, though valuable, is an inanimate object and obviously cannot know whether it's lost or found. But the woman who lost one of her 10 silver coins certainly spared no effort in searching her house until she found it. Finally, in the story of the prodigal son, you probably remember the younger son who demanded his share of the property from his father firmly believed that he was doing the right thing. It was only after all his money had been squandered and he was starving in that famine with the pigs that he realized that he was lost. He came home with his head hung low in guilt and shame. The benevolent father was eager to welcome him home, running out to greet him despite the protests of his older, more obedient brother. And the father said to the elder brother, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." There's lots to ponder and to reflect upon here. So I'd like to ask you a few pointed questions. Do you see any similarities between yourself and these Pharisees and scribes who were questioning Jesus' radical hospitality? Do you think that we, as a church, have some fairly strong, if unwritten, rules about who is really welcome in our sanctuaries? And who are the desirable people? Are there people with whom you would be uncomfortable at your dinner table? How do you think Jesus would respond to your prejudice and bias towards certain people? How does this facet of basic human nature, that is, the tendency we all have to judge other people who are not like us, how does this fit in with true kingdom living? Consider this question of lost and found. The passage from Jeremiah begs the question, did the chosen people, the people of Israel and Jerusalem, did they fully understand how far they had fallen from God's favor? Did they understand how truly lost they were? "For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good." The writer of Psalm 14 had a strong indictment against his people. "Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good, no, not one." Well, this is certainly hyperbole, but doesn't it sound just a bit familiar to those of us who live in 21st century America? Paul's indictment of himself in the first letter to Timothy really struck me. He understood that at one time he was truly and completely lost. I'm grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I guess it struck me hard because I could have written most of those words about myself. This reading from Luke seems at first like a simple, straightforward reminder by Jesus that we ought to celebrate the return of a repentant sinner who once was lost, but now is found. And this is certainly part of the lesson. But I wonder if Jesus didn't also intend that we might find ourselves identifying with the sheep and the coin and the prodigal son demanding his share of the inheritance. Jesus goes to great lengths to find those who are lost. But I wonder sometimes if we might not fully understand how we ourselves have fallen away from God's image. Do we understand how truly lost we are? Let me paraphrase what Paul had to say. I wonder if this may ring true for you, too. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was and continue to be a sinner. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Rejoice for the found? Indeed. Amen.